Bishop Richard, I guess the nature of chaplaincy has changed over the years, but how do you think it would have been for a World War One chaplain ministering to those young kids, basically, not hardly into adulthood, some of them, I'm sure, with trench warfare, the horrors of trench warfare?
Well, trench warfare is particularly horrific. I think we need to remember that we have this sort of image of the First World War of people being in trenches for years and years and years. Of course, they weren't. They were in the front line only for very short spaces of time. But what's very clear from the evidence and from the histories of the different regiments, and certainly is the case for Father Gleeson in the picture, is that he spent a lot of time travelling about in shell holes, in the trenches, being with wounded soldiers. And that would have been horrific, because the medical care that our soldiers have today just wasn't around then. There was really very little that could be done in many cases. Getting a casualty out of the front line was very slow. They didn't have the painkillers that we have today. The surgery that's possible today wasn't possible then, and it couldn't happen so quickly. So that would have been horrific. And we know, particularly as the war progressed, that the condition of the ground was infected, and that produced its own horrors. And there's issues like gas warfare and all those kinds of things. So a most horrendous battlefield to be engaged in. But what is wonderful is the way our chaplains went into harm's way to look after the wounded and the dying.
In terms of that service of care, it's, you know, quite an incredible act of service. But what about the sacraments or the transmission of the faith in these terribly difficult circumstances? Was that possible?
It was, yes. I mean, I personally wouldn't have so much evidence of the First World War, but I certainly would know of many priests who found a vocation as a result of their experience in World War II. And I'm quite sure there would have been similar experiences in World War I. It's also true to say that the problems of conflict challenged faith, and there would be some people who found, as a result of their experience, that a relationship with a God of love became very, very difficult for them because of all that they had seen. For others, it brought them to faith. But in either case, and this would still be the same today, the chaplain is there to help people address those big questions, those questions of life and death, and where is hope, where is God in all this? And just as then, so today, the chaplains bring that good news to people in our armed forces.
Now, it's 100 years, of course, since the start of the First World War. You've often said that, obviously, commemorations, remembrance, it's not an act of glorifying war. It is literally one of remembrance. How do we now, 100 years on, go about that in the right manner?
Well, it's prayer for all those who are involved in conflict. And I think it's important that we pray for everybody across the world who was engaged in this conflict, regardless of the country that to which they belonged at the time. And I think it's even more important, in a way, is to try to learn the lessons. The best way we can remember and commemorate the dreadful loss of life of the First World War is to try and learn the lessons of our history. And that's something that, as a human race, we're not always very good at. So if our commemorations of this year and over the years to come, if they kind of help us a bit to learn the lessons of our history, then that would be a great thing going forward. Might be a lot to ask, but I think we have to try to learn those lessons.
And finally, Bishop Richard, the bishops in conference have basically called for various acts of commemoration. Tell us a bit about what's going to happen.
There are a series of dates during the course of the commemorations of the First World War. The first one is the outbreak of war this August. And as a conference of bishops, we've undertaken, each one of us, to celebrate a mass in our cathedrals for those who've died during the First World War. And that will be replicated in every church across the land, I'm sure, through prayers for peace, through prayers for those who've died, and two, to remember those families still today who are caring for those who've been injured in more recent conflicts. But certainly as bishops, we will be celebrating these masses on these key dates across the next few years. So that's the outbreak of World War One, the Battle of Jutland, the Battle of the Somme, the Battle of Passchendaele, the Battle of Gallipoli, and then the armistice what will now be 2018.
And how important do you think the contribution of those men and women, I guess, that died 100 years ago has been to our countries?
I think that we must never lose sight of sacrifice. People put their lives on the line, literally, for the things in which they believed, They put their lives on the line for in the name of their countries, and their willingness to sacrifice themselves, to go beyond the extra mile, if you like, is an example that we should not lose. I think, too, the example of the enormous humanity and love that was really shown, one soldier for another, in the most dire of circumstances, is actually a wonderful example to us. And that real love and care and respect, a real desire that was so often lived out to help the injured and those who were dying, is an example from which we can all learn, and we mustn't lose sight of that.